Thank you so much. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. Tonight's message is called The Lord's Light in this series called The Core. This is our 45th message going through the book of Ephesians, of course, one message at a time. You can jump in, jump out anytime. We believe that you'll always be able to stay up to speed with us in what we're doing. You know, it's interesting that we live in a day today where you really don't need a flashlight anymore. I remember that I always had like a flashlight in my car, or always kept a flashlight kind of in the bedroom in case all the lights go out, something like that. Now with our crazy phones, we don't need flashlights anymore. We've got a built-in flashlight everywhere that we go. But we probably still have some flashlights around because we all know something that anytime you venture out in the dark, there's one thing you need in the dark. You need light. You're saying this guy's really sharp. But we do. We need, and so there's a variety of different flashlights out there. There are solar powered lights where, you know, it soaks up the sun's rays during the day and then the battery stays charged up during the dark time. There are, of course, regular battery operated flashlights that you just put batteries in them. There, have you seen the crank flashlights where you don't have to have a battery? You just crank them up. And we got these lights a while back. Have you ever seen these shake flashlights? We got some of these, and the way they sell them to you is they say, you know, what are you going to do? The lights go out. You go and find your flashlight. You go to turn it on and the batteries are dead. What are you going to do? And I think, well, I'm going to use my phone. But anyway, they say, so what are you going to do? So they say this thing with the shake flashlight that you shake it up and it shines. Not very good, but. And, you know, then, of course, I love infomercials. I'll watch them because, you know, that this is regular a $30 flashlight, but now it's only $19.99. But wait, if you order in the next 24 hours, you can get two of these shake up flashlights. And that's not all. We'll also send you two fly fishing tying lures, which have nothing to do with flashlights. They always throw something else in for you. And I don't know why I went down that. Forgive me. I don't know. But anyway, we got some of these shake up flashlights. And the whole thing is that you never run out of light. You can use it and it shines. And if the light starts going dim, all you got to do is shake it up again. And every time the light starts growing dim, you just shake it up and it shines bright. And I think, I hope you can follow me here, is that this flashlight reminds me a lot of my Christian life. Because we all know that our Lord is the light of the world, and we know He clearly teaches us in the Bible that we're to shine for Him in this dark world. But I don't know about you, but in my years of being a Christian, there are times that my light grows dim. And many times it's not intentional. It's not that I'm shaking my fist in God's face and saying I don't care about God anymore. It's usually just the living of life. We start kind of drifting away from the Lord and drifting away from His word and those sort of things. And our lights can grow dim. Really, what we need once in a while is to kind of shake up a little bit and let the word of God and the Spirit of God shake up our faith and shake up our Christian life a little bit so we can stop, you know, having a dim light, but shining bright for Him. And that's what tonight's message is about. Tonight's message is that we know there are times our light grows dim, but let's allow God's word to shake us up so we can shine bright for Him. We can shine our very brightest for Him. I know people have said this throughout the ages, but it is, in my 53 years of living, I don't know if I've ever lived in a day where the United States of America is more morally, spiritually dark than it is today. And you know what darkness needs? It needs light. It needs light to shine brightly. And call it revival, call it rededication, whatever we may call it. But there are times we just need to shake up the light a little bit. And I believe the scripture tonight does that as we talk about the Lord's light. Of course, the book of Ephesians is the core. It's the very central truth of what we are to believe as believers and how we are to behave as believers. And it's full of vital information from God because it's His word of what we are to know and how we to obey Him for His glory. And chapter 5, which we've been spending some time in recently, chapter 5 is all about our conduct as Christians. Jesus is our Lord, and as His disciples, we're to follow Him for His honor to rescue the lost. Who we are in Jesus is to determine how we live for Jesus. Our identity in Christ is to impact how we live. Again, there's this new thing in American Christianity that Jesus can be your Savior and you can just live any old way you want to. That's not in the Bible. To be a follower of Jesus means to be an ever-growing disciple. We're not perfect in any way, shape, or form. We're all a work in progress, true, but godly behavior is to come from the life of someone who belongs to God. Now, we do not live godly behavior to get saved. We don't behave, have proper Christian conduct according to the authority of Scripture to keep ourselves saved. No, we do it because we are saved. When the life of Christ is to flow from us because the life of Christ is in us, and when we yield daily to the life of Jesus in us, it makes a difference in our attitudes, in our actions. That's what it means to be a Christian. Well, chapter 5, the first 7 verses is all about, and you see it in verse 1, being imitators of Christ. That word imitators literally is the word of being a disciple. It means to do as I do. In other words, to be an imitator or a follower of Christ in the first 7 verses mean much more than I'm just going to kind of basically go God's direction. Like, this is the direction of God. This is what He's about. And I'm just kind of going to tag along and go God's direction. No, it is to be an imitator of Christ is much more intense than that. And we've talked about this before reviewing. Remember the game, follow the leader. When you do follow the leader, if the leader sits in a chair, you sit in the chair. If the leader climbs a wall, you climb a wall. It means you're going to imitate everything that the leader does. That's what's wrapped up in that word in verse 1 of chapter 5. To be a disciple of Jesus means I'm an imitator of Him. I am to imitate His love. I'm to imitate how He lived His life. I'm to imitate His words. We're to be imitators or disciples of Christ in His attitudes and His actions. So we see Paul shares with the church of Ephesus here in verses 1 through 7. He shares some conduct in those verses that were not to be about. He shares some of the words that we're not supposed to use. He ties in our eternal destiny with our earthly behavior, that one of the assurances of our salvation is that we know that the Lord has changed our life and how those two are tied together. He shares very clearly that a habitual, unholy life that's all about the world, that has no concern for the people of God, the things of God, for God Himself, has no desire for any of those things. A habitual, unholy life that's about the world and not about the things of God. What we saw in verses 1 through 7, the Bible says that person's never really been saved. Again, our actions do not save us. Our actions do not keep us saved. But we have these actions because we are saved. And as we go through these verses, we'll see these actions are proof that we are saved in Him. Now we're entering new ground. We're continuing in chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. It's all about walking in the light. Now, I've divided verses 8 through 14. It's one section. There's too much there. I've divided it up into two messages. And tonight we're just going to look at verses 8 through 10. And the next time we come together, we'll look at 11 through 14 when we return to the book of Ephesians a little later down the road. Paul wants to remind us. Paul wants to encourage us. Paul wants to challenge us that there's a vast difference. He's saying there is a vast, vast difference in the old you, the old me before Jesus. And there's a huge gap between the new us in Jesus and what He does to show the difference between days without Christ and who we are in Christ, to show the vast difference, encouraging us and challenging us about who we were before Jesus and who we are now in Jesus. This is what He does in verses 8 through 10. He says this is the difference of darkness and light. The difference in who I was as a college freshman before I came to Christ as my Savior and who I am today in the Lord Jesus Christ, only by His mercy and only by His grace, it should be as different as darkness and light. And that's what He is sharing here. Look at verses 8 through 10. We're going to study these three verses. Keep your Bible open here. We'll look at literally every word in these three verses. And I want to share with you three lessons for living from each one of these three verses. Walk in the light. It says this: for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse 9 of Ephesians 5: for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, in truth. Verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Three life lessons, three lessons for living from those three verses about walking in the light, about shaking up the light in us. We don't want to be dim. We want to shine brightly for our Lord in this dark world. And here's some things to encourage us and remind us. Number one, our first lesson for living. These will be on the screen for you, too. We've been delivered from darkness and we're living in the light. For believers in Jesus, it's a fact. We have been delivered from darkness and we're living in the light. Verse 8 says this, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Look what it says beginning of verse 8. It says, "For you were once darkness." That word darkness there in verse 8, it's speaking of our life before we were saved. Darkness represents anyone in our world today who does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it represents every one of us before Jesus was our Savior, before salvation. Notice what it's teaching in verse 8. It does not saying you're in the dark. It says you are darkness. That's a huge difference. Someone without Jesus is not just in the dark. They actually are darkness. It says you were once darkness. We've all walked around in the dark before, you know, maybe again the power went out, whatever, something happened. Anytime we're walking in the darkness, unless maybe we're really familiar with where we're at, we do not know where we're going. We don't know how to get there. We don't know what to do. We kind of stumble around with no idea. That's the picture of every single person without Jesus and all of us before we came to Jesus. If we're a believer, we were stumbling, groping through life with no clear direction, not really knowing where we're going to go. Of course, talking spiritually, we were walking in ignorance because we did not know the truth of God through Christ. We were walking around in total 100% depravity, depraved in our sins, in our iniquity, in our trespasses, in our morals, in our ethics, totally against God. Now, Paul addressed this much deeper in chapter 2 of Ephesians when he said this in verses 1 and 3. He says, "He who made And you he made alive who were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all of us once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature children of wrath, just as others." It says, "For you once were in darkness." Every single human without Jesus and all of us before Jesus, we were darkness. Our souls were dead. We were totally depraved. We were ignorant of the things of God. We were sinners separated from Him. That's the picture of our world. I don't know if you saw in July of last year, July of 2015, Newswatch 33 had a huge headline that went across our nation. This was the headline: "The Earth is to experience 15 days of total darkness." That was Newswatch 33's headline. The story said that NASA said, due to some astronomical event between Venus and Jupiter, that planet Earth was going to go totally dark November 15th of 2015, and the planet would stay totally dark until November 30th of 2015. There would be a total worldwide blackout. The world would be in total darkness for 15 days. The story spread like crazy on social media of everyone talking about how in November of 2015, again, this was July, there was going to be 15 days that planet Earth, according to NASA, would be in total darkness. Now, you're sitting here saying, wait a minute. Now, my memory's not the best, but I remember last November, and I think I would have remembered if there were 15 days of total darkness that covered the entire planet because of something to do with Jupiter and Venus. Well, the issue is there was not 15 days of total darkness on planet Earth. Matter of fact, there's no such place called Newswatch 33. Some people made it all up as a hoax. Fake story. And it spread like crazy that the world was going to be in total darkness. Well, let me tell you what's not a hoax. Let me tell you what's not fake. Spiritually, people without Jesus Christ are walking around in absolute total darkness. And it doesn't last for 15 days. It is the description of who they are. Ever since the Garden of Eden and ever since the fall of man with Adam and Eve, there is a worldwide spiritual blackout. People without Christ are lost. They're in darkness. They're separated from Him. But look at the sweet words in verse 8. "For you were once darkness." I used to be darkness, but guess what? I'm not darkness now because of Jesus. And I hope that's your testimony. You were once. See, all who come to Jesus, we've been delivered from darkness. We've been delivered to light. What a miracle. It's an amazing thing. No one but God, but the supernatural power of God working through the resurrection of His Son on the cross can take my dark, dead soul and make it light and life and alive in Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. It's called salvation. It's the greatest miracle that God does. He makes us alive and makes us light in Christ. Remember, I just looked a moment ago at Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, that we were all dead in our sins. Well, here's the rest of the story in verse 4 of Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works that anyone could boast. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Yeah, we were dead. We were dark. But now, because of Jesus, because of His grace, because of His mercy, He's given us life and light. Look at the scriptures that reminds us that if Jesus is your Savior, we were dark, but we're no longer dark. We've been delivered from darkness to light. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light, from the dominion of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, when He began His public ministry, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light, and those who were sitting in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has dawned. And then verse 17 of Matthew 4, it says, from this time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Paul is saying, you were dark, and you were in the dark, but now you're light. Remember, chapter 5 is all about how we live as Christians in the world. He says, you were dark and you were in the dark, but now you're light. And the whole point here is, why would you ever want to go back to the dark? But we've all, for the most part, been there. Why would we do that? Verse 8 says, but now, for you were once darkness, but now. Romans 8:1 says, now there is no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus, but now you are light in the Lord. Notice it says you are. In September, I preached a 4-part series on 4 missional metaphors where the Bible describes who we are in Christ. It describes the missional life. The Bible says you are ambassadors, you are fragrance, you are salt, and it says you are light. See, my past life before Jesus was dark. But now my present life and my forever life is light, and it's all due to Jesus. Again, it's more than in the light. It doesn't say that we were in the light, like God is shining this big spotlight down on me and I'm walking in the light of Christ. That's not what the Bible teaches. It says that we are filled with the light of the Lord, that we are the light of the Lord. I was not in darkness, I was dark. And now today, I am not in the light of God. I am the light of God. I have His light in me. I'm not saying some New Age thing here. I'm the light of God. I don't mean that. I mean, the light of Christ is in me. Look what the Bible says. Jesus said, I am the light of the world in John 8:12. But then it says to believers, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light, let it happen. We control how bright it's going to shine. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Who is the real light of the world? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then Jesus said about us, you are the light of the world. Well, let's be clear. The real light of the world is Jesus. He's the only light source. We're just His reflectors. We know what that is. If you've ever been driving down the road at night, it's dark, and your headlights hit the eyes of an animal. Some animals' eyes are red, some are green, some are blue. Now, let me inform you of something. Those animals don't have laser beams coming out of their heads, okay? That's not why their eyes look like that. God created them to have this special layer over their eyes that when the headlights of our cars hit them, they reflect the light back at us. They're not producing a light. Those animals on the side of the road aren't projecting lights out of their head. They're reflecting the lights of our car. The moon is not its own light source. The sun is the light source, and the moon reflects the sun. What the moon is to the sun is what you and I are to Jesus Christ. We are not our own light source. We simply reflect the light of Christ inside of us. We are to shine our light. We're not to hide it. This is for the glory of God and the advancement of the gospel. We are not dark. We are light. And it says at the end of verse 8, hey, you're not dark. You are the Lord's light. Therefore, what does it say? Walk as children of light. My new identity in Christ calls for a new lifestyle. God is light. There's no darkness in him. We all would agree with that. God is light. There's no darkness in him. And if I've been born again into his forever family, if I am a child of God through my new birth in Christ and the new life I have in Christ, then it makes sense, like father, like son, that I should walk to imitate, which we studied in verse 1, to imitate Jesus in the world. And that means we're light. It says in verse 8, walk as children of light. Of course, that word walk speaks of our daily conduct. It speaks about our behavior. Remember, we said chapter 5 is all about the conduct of Christians. Ephesians 5:2 says walk in love. Ephesians 5:8 says walk as children of light. We'll study it later. Ephesians 5:15 says walk in wisdom. It's all about walk, 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 walk. It's all about how we live our life for Christ, because our walk shows that we are light and not darkness. It's our walk that shows, our conduct that shows the difference Jesus has made in our life. And we will never make a difference in the world as the light, for the light of the world, until the world sees the difference Jesus has made in us. And they see that difference when we live and act like him as he lives his life through us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:4, what fellowship has light with darkness? See, as a Christ follower, we are not to walk in darkness. We are not to be darkness, but our mission is to the darkness. And the only way I can be on mission in this dark world is to be light. And the only way I can be light is when my daily life, my daily love, and my daily words show that I belong to Jesus, show that I am like Jesus, because Jesus is living his life out of me. That's lightness, being light in the dark world. Philippians 2 says this, do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom, talking to believers, among whom in this crooked, perverse generation, you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that you may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The darkest sky I ever saw was in Liberia, Africa. Bob Caldwell, Jim Nichols, and myself went to Liberia. It's been a couple years now. And we went 4 hours back into the bush, 4 hours back into the jungle, into this village, and spent almost a week there. And at night in the Africa, in the West African jungle, there were not lights hardly anywhere. I've never seen the sky so dark, but I've never seen the stars shine so bright. Because what Paul is teaching here, where he talks about this crooked and perverse generation whom you shine as lights in the world, you see that when we were in Liberia, the darker the night sky, the brighter the stars shine in that sky. Our daily walk in Christ, the darker this world gets, the brighter our lights should shine. We should shine for Christ. Jesus is our Savior. We pray, we yield, we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and we reflect Jesus, his life out of us in this dark world, and he is glorified, and the gospel goes out. We need to shake up the light once in a while if we're shining dim, and we remember that we were once dark, but now we are in the light of the Lord, and we are the light of the Lord. Look at verse 9, number 2. The light of the Lord in us bears fruit. The light of the Lord in us bears fruit. It says, verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, we know in verse 9, comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. I preached through the fruit of the Spirit. It's been a while now, but it was called fruit gushers. Galatians 5, 22, 23 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is no law. If I'm walking with Jesus as light in the world, what does my life look like? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The authentic life, the authentic life of a Christ follower is the Spirit-filled life, and the Spirit-filled life is full of the Holy Spirit, has the fruit of the Spirit. Through salvation in Jesus, the Holy Spirit indwells each and every one of us as a believer. As we surrender to the Holy Spirit and as we trust Jesus and not ourselves, the fruit of the Spirit or the characteristics of Christ, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, will be displayed in us and through us. Fruit is what hangs on us that other people see. If I had two trees up here and one had oranges hanging on it and one had apples hanging on it, the fruit hanging on it would identify the tree. The outward expression of the inward reality that the Holy Spirit is inside of me is what fruit hangs on me. And when you and I go through the world, how they know that we belong to Jesus, that we are Spirit-filled, walking in His light and we are light, is by the fruit that hangs on our life. And the fruit that hangs on our life is not oranges or apples. It's love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and kindness and self-control. When that fruit hangs on you and hangs on me, it shows the world that Christ is in us and we belong to Him. Notice it says in verse 9, it's not fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It's singular. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit with multiple traits. We do not pick and choose which fruit we like better than the other. It's all of them all the time. The fruit of the Spirit does not happen by our hard work. Fruit does not happen by self-effort, but by surrender to the Holy Spirit. Fruit is not manufactured by you and I trying real hard to follow Jesus. Fruit is not manufactured by us. It's produced by the life of Christ in us, growing out of us when we surrender to Him. The fruit of the Spirit is the thrilling, victorious life that Jesus has in store for all of us. The fruit of the Spirit is what shows us the Spirit-filled life is what it means to walk in the light of Christ. And those qualities that we see, it lists just three of the qualities when we are in the light of the Lord, when we are the light of the Lord, when we're reflecting the light of Christ in this dark world, that Spirit-filled, fruitful life, there'll be goodness in verse 9. Look at goodness. That means a kind generosity that puts others ahead of ourselves. There'll be righteousness. God is always totally right. And when we got saved, Jesus replaced our unrighteousness with His perfect righteousness. And now it means that you and I can live our life being right with God. Truth. God is truth. The Word of God is truth. And there is no falsehood in God. The world says that truth is up to people to decide what it is. But you and I say that truth is in God and in His Word. And His truth is absolute and always and unchanging. So I used to be darkness, but now I'm light. And to walk in light is the same thing as saying to be Spirit-filled with the fruit of the Spirit in my life. And what other people will see in me when I'm light and not dark, they'll see goodness, they'll see righteousness, they'll see truth. I heard the story of a guy who was visiting a remote village overseas, and he asked a question in the village. He said, "Have you ever heard the gospel before?" And one of the village members says, "No, I've never heard the gospel before, but I've seen the gospel." And this guy said, "What do you mean you've never heard it, but you've seen it?" He said, "Well, there was a man in our village who met a man who said he was a missionary. And this man told him a lot of things about God. And this man used to be an alcoholic. He was a troublemaker. He came back to our village and he's totally changed. He escaped the slavery of his alcohol and he treats his family so nice. He's honest in his business dealings." So this guy said, "No, I have never heard the gospel, but I've seen the gospel in one of my friends." And he said, "I'd like to hear it from you." And that's what it means here. People, yes, they need to hear the gospel from us, but they need to see the gospel in us because the light of the Lord in us bears fruit. Finally, look at verse 10. Here's our third and final truth. Living as the light of the Lord pleases the Lord. Living as the light of the Lord pleases the Lord. We just don't want our lights to grow dim. We want to shake them up a little bit. Now, notice that verse 9 was in parenthesis. So if let's take it out and you can add verse 10 to the end of verse 8. It literally says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, finding what is acceptable to the Lord." That word acceptable means pleasing. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. When I, who used to be dark, now am light, and I walk as a children of light, which means I'm Spirit-filled, bearing the fruit of the Spirit in my life, the life of Jesus out of me. Verse 10 says that pleases the Lord. See, our life is not about pleasing ourselves, and our life is not about pleasing others. There should be one passion in our life, and that's pleasing the Lord. You know what should regulate your life and what should regulate my life? The decisions we make, the actions in our lives, what should regulate your life and my life is this. Will it please God? Not does it please me or does it please others, but does it please God? And the way that I know it will please God is when I do the will of God according to the Word of God. Let me be clear. If it's against the Word of God, it's not going to be the will of God and it's not going to please God. It says to be acceptable, living in the light pleases the Lord. We must pray. We must yield to the Holy Spirit. We must renew our minds by being saturated with the Word of God. And we must allow the life of Jesus to live His life in us and through us. This is what pleases God. I'm going to stop there. And next time we come to Ephesians, I'll pick up verse 11 through 14 in this section about walking in the light. So really, for you and for I, what is it? The first question, is it dark or is it light? Do you have Jesus? Yes or no? Are you right now dark or are you light? And it all comes through a personal relationship with Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins, who arose from the grave in victory. And through a personal relationship with Him is the only way we move from darkness to light. And remember the context here of chapter 5. Paul is talking about the conduct of Christ followers, and he's teaching us this. Stay out of the dark. Don't let your light grow dim. Walk in the light. Keep growing. Keep reflecting the light. You know that light is the fastest thing in the universe. It's the fastest thing we've ever experienced. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. The speed of light, if you sit on the equator, at the speed of light, it could go around our world 7.5 times in 1 second at the speed of light. I'm not going to go all the reasons why, but something really huge happened in science in a 2013 Science Daily. German scientists, for the first time ever in human history, was able to trap light in a crystal and hold it for over 1 minute. In other words, something that travels 186,000 miles a second, that you can go around the equator of the Earth 7 times in 1 second. They were able to take something moving that fast and totally stop it, freeze it in a crystal for 1 minute. I mean, incredible, incredible achievement. What it could mean for freezing light that's moving that fast, how it could impact space travel and how high speed data and all that sort of stuff. They could freeze light, freeze something moving that fast. Well, we know the fastest, greatest, most powerful light, indescribable light in all the universe is Jesus is the light of the world. And I want to tell you, there's nothing, no one, anyway, ever that can freeze His light from going out in this dark world. He will accomplish His mission. Nothing can freeze the light of Jesus. But us as His reflectors, we don't want to be frozen light. We don't want our light to grow dim. We don't want our light to be frozen, to stand still in any way, shape or form. We want to take His light all over our community. We want to take His light all over the world, because you and I are the light of the world. And once in a while, you just got to shake up the light and let it shine. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You that You are the light of the world and that we were dark. But through a relationship with You, we now are light, and You call us to walk as light. God, this world is so dark and so lost and so broken. And Jesus, You alone are the only answer. And God, I pray that everyone in this room knows that they know that they know that they are no longer in dark, but they are in the light because of a personal relationship with You. I pray everyone in this room would know that as we saw this dear family tonight, that they have followed You in public testimony of believers' baptism, or they would make that decision. God, maybe some need to become a part of this dear, sweet church family tonight. Lord, maybe others just need to worship You as the light of the world. Lord, we think about what's coming in front of us. God, Easter weekend coming up, the Easter extravaganza, taking Your love into the community. God, all the missions and all the ministries of our church. God, this world needs Your light and Your love. And Lord, help us to be Your light and love in our jobs, in our schools, in our families, in our neighborhoods, through the ministries of this church. And God, maybe there'd be one of us tonight, if we really evaluate our life, we would say, man, I know I'm a Christian. I know I belong to Jesus. But I've been walking in the dark. I've been involved in some dark things. I've returned to the dark. Lord, I want to thank You tonight that anyone here in this room can have a fresh start by coming to You and repenting of sins and coming clean and letting You cleanse them and walk in newness of life. So God, what is it? Thank you, Lord. Man may be able to freeze light at 186,000 miles a second, but Jesus is the light of the world. Nothing can freeze you. Nothing can trap you. Nothing can stop you. And God, we don't want our light to be frozen. We don't want our light to grow dim. We want to shine bright in this dark world for your glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please?